Welcome to Training on Demand at Friendship Grace Brethren Church, where our motto is learning and living God's Word. Here, we are dedicated to empowering believers and fostering a deeper understanding of the Bible. Our on-demand training sessions offer a flexible and comprehensive approach to spiritual growth, tailored to fit your schedule and needs. Join us on this enriching journey to strengthen your faith and live out God's teachings in your everyday life. Whether you're exploring the scriptures for the first time or seeking to deepen your knowledge, our resources are designed to inspire and guide you. Let's discover the transformative power of God's Word together.
The title of my message this morning is Scandalous Resolutions, continuing the theme of the scandal. Last week we... Last week we worked through the scandal of the manger, last Sunday, the dirty feeding trough in the middle of the stable cave of Joseph's family home in Bethlehem. The creator sustainer of the universe in a filthy cave barn. Then on Christmas Eve we worked through the scandal of the manger, God among outcasts. The creator sustainer, the transcendent God of the universe, in a filthy manger in a cave stable, being visited by the outcasts of society. Then religious leaders coming to see him from afar off. A baby wrapped in swaddling cloths resembling the burial clothes he would wear a few years later. To continue in the theme of the scandal of the manger, I want to talk about our response to the scandal of the manger and God among outcasts as we enter this new year. I would like to challenge you with several perspective or resolutions that are a shift in our perspective for the world. The first one, going from perfection to presence. 1 Corinthians 1:27 and 28, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. God chose to send Jesus to the earth to be our propitiation as a dirty diapered baby who had to grow in Mary's womb for 9 months and then live totally dependent on Mary and Joseph. He couldn't feed himself. He couldn't walk or talk. He needed Mary and Joseph for everything. Stop waiting for your life to be orderly before you offer it to God. He chose a stable, not a temple. He chose the dirty stable cave in the backwoods of the empire and not the marble palace of the empire. Offer God your stable moments this year. It's always fascinated me. Here is the creator, sustainer of the universe, maintaining the universe, well, depending on Mary, to clean his bottom and to feed him. He's maintaining the universe at the same time getting hungry, waiting for Mary to feed him, getting his butt sore, waiting to be changed. At the same time, omnipotent and helpless. As I thought about the tension of that, I thought about how God often works in this world. He doesn't always have dramatic, cataclysmic solutions to the situations in the world. Sure, that happens occasionally. Most often, though, God uses simple and quiet things to address what's going on in the world. In the case of our sin, God promised a solution that took more than 4,000 years to come about. Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This verse is often called the proto-evangelium, or first giving of the gospel. God is dealing with the sin of Adam and Eve, and he tells Satan, the serpent, that's serpent and Satan together. Just trying to speed things up, right? Get you on to luncheon time. He tells Satan, the serpent, that there will be the woman, her offspring, and the serpent. There will be this conflict, this tension between them. God says that the woman's offspring, Jesus, will bruise the serpent's head, and the serpent would bruise his heel. This means that Jesus will eventually crush Satan and his minions, while Satan will only hurt Jesus temporarily on the cross. That's where God's public solution to our sin problem begins. Quietly, God unfolds his plan to bring salvation to this world. Apostle Paul writes in Galatians, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption of sons." When the fullness of time had come, Genesis 3:15, I'm going to send a Savior. 4,000 plus years later, Jesus is born. When God's plan progressed to the exact right time, Alexander the Great had conquered from Europe to India and down through Egypt. Greek was firmly installed as the trade language of the entire area conquered by Alexander the Great. Then Rome took over and provides a great system of roads and a great mail system, bringing relative peace to the entire region. The entire region, with the exception of Israel, followed a polytheistic religious system that had a God for every family and every occasion. In Israel, they followed a religious system that was a perversion of what God had presented to them through Moses. I suspect that if any one of us were God, our response would have been a little different than his response. Our responses would have been over the top and cataclysmic. We would have had to have a new Noah and a total destruction of the world, or even more. But God gave the warning to Satan, and then over the course of 4,000 years, gave warnings to many people through the prophets. Sure, he destroyed the world in Noah's flood, surely a cataclysmic event. Then God went back to quiet warnings through Abraham, through Moses, through the prophets. And then, as Paul says, at the right time, the fullness of time, God sent his Son. Quietly born in a manger cave without much fanfare. Sure, he told the shepherds. The wise man would come a couple of years later. But the grand scheme of time, very little attention was paid to Jesus and his birth. God uses the common and the ordinary to accomplish great and extraordinary things. God used the youngest son of Jesse, who was small, to kill the 9-foot-tall Goliath when the whole army of Israel couldn't. Jesus used a little boy's Happy Meal of fish and chips to feed thousands. Rather than send heaven's army to deal with Satan and his sin, God sent Jesus in a manger, in a cave, in the backwoods of the empire. It seems like a fairly consistent strategy of God to use lowly things to accomplish fantastic things. As we approach this new year, what fantastic things are you going to allow God to do through you? You don't need to be a Billy Graham or a D.L. Moody or a Billy Sunday to do fantastic things for God. You just have to be willing to be used. A helpless, dirty, diapered baby was used by God to bring salvation to the world. God can also use you. And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." The manger in the stable cave was God among outcasts. This verse reminds us that we should all be involved with people like that. All people. Not just the wealthy and the powerful, but all people. We need to be willing to have conversations with the people around us. As we move into this new year, be looking for the people you can reach out to. Also, see the people that God puts in your path to have conversations with. Don't overlook the people who you come into contact with. The bagger at the grocery store. Your pool guy. The person you sit next to at a meeting. Or wherever. Wherever you are. Be willing to have conversations with anyone. There's a reason they are there next to you. That means you have to be prepared to have a conversation, which is what we try to do here at Friendship Grace Brethren Church. Paul would write to the Philippians, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be held onto, to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." I love this passage. It's Jesus, the creator, sustainer of the universe, became a dirty, diapered baby, setting aside the use of some of his divine attributes so that he could come into and be part of our world and be our propitiation. He sets the example for us on how we're to act and to live. Think about what Jesus gave up. He gave up the perfect existence in an eternal heaven as a member of the triune Godhead to be confined by all the boundaries of being in the limited mortal world. He gave all that up for you and me. That's the doctrine of kenosis. He sets the perfect example of how we're to behave around other people, other family and friends. We have to be willing to give up our own pleasure, security, and time so that we have time for others, so that we can do for others. The scandal of the manger is the sacrifice Jesus made for you and me, the example for how we're to act. So as we enter this new year, be looking for ways to interact with others, sacrificing your time, your own treasure, to build a relationship with others. Get rid of this satanic idea of me time. Make it we time. Not me time, we time. Sure, you still have to get your work done. You still have to have time to rest. You have to take care of your physical self. But the me time idea has built into us, I'm more important than everybody else. When I'm taken care of, I'll take care of you. That's what me time says. That's the wrong way to go. Make it we time. Take care of your rest. Take care of the things you need to do. Do your job. But think of it as we time, not me time. The next one is to go from comfort to proximity. The manger was uncomfortable. It certainly was not what Jesus was accustomed to. In coming to the manger in a stable cave, Jesus came to be with his people. We just looked at Philippians 2, 5 through 7. Jesus set aside the comfort of the eternal heaven for the pain, struggle, and even torture of human skin to be close to his people. Mark chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. And as he reclined at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the sacrifice of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" During his earthly ministry, Jesus often ate and enjoyed company of sinners, not the religious elite. He needed to be in proximity to his people. One of the common issues in the church in America is after a few years of existence is the lack of relationships outside of the church. We become so entrenched in the church, we no longer have relationships with people in the world. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and be near the reproach he endured. As we approach this new year, resolve to be in proximity to the outcast. Whether it's a literal neighbor in need or your family, friends, co-workers, the outcast, those that still need to know who Jesus is. This coming year, make it a practice of being where others are. Develop relationships with them to have conversations with them. Don't be confined to your group in the church. Make it so you're reaching out and being with others as well. Don't be comfortable with only church relationships. Put yourself in situations and relationships to have more opportunity to share the love of Jesus, the dirty diapered babe in the manger. From greatness to smallness. The world celebrates the big reveal, right? Lynn and I love to watch HGTV and the home building and renovation shows. At the end of the show, it's always the big reveal, right? The house is staged, everything's perfect, and the homeowner is finally able to see what's done. We really enjoy that. But rather than the big reveal, God celebrated the tiny reveal. Look for God working in the small, unremarkable faithfulness of daily life. God is always working in the background. He does not always make a big splash. Rather, most often, God only makes a little ripple. But those ripples are all planned. And when seen in the totality of the world's history, a great cataclysmic thing is happening. So always remember to go from greatness to smallness. Don't think that you only want to participate in the big things, because the big things aren't often there. And most Christians never get to participate in the big things. Go from polished testimony to raw truth. We most often think that God is most glorified in the very public victories and big events. But the baby born and laid in a manger in a stinky, dirty, noisy stable cave without world fanfare and big public announcement proves that God quite often works in the quiet and the small events to accomplish his plan. God chose to tell his greatest story through the smell of the barn, the cry of the baby, and the unwed teenage mother. God used the raw, unedited truth to save the world. As we enter this new year, let's remove the editing we all do in our lives. Stop hiding what's not perfect in your life. Your struggles may be what someone else needs to hear to be able to relate to you and to God, so that they can relate to hear the message you have of the gospel for them. Quite often, God takes you through things to prepare you to help others through the exact same things. But when we present our lives as perfect, we often lose the ability to have the conversations with others. Remove the editing we all do on our lives. It's kind of comical often as the ministerium gets together and we talk about what's going on in our churches and in our lives. A lot of editing happens. Everything's perfect. People are coming to know the Lord, we're baptizing hundreds. You know, things are great. When in reality, remove the editing from yourself and go from polished testimony to the raw truth of what God said. Go from safety first to sacrifice first. Mark chapter 10, verse 39. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus told his disciples that sacrifice is part of what they're called to. He's not telling them to die for no reason. This is a comparison. Your life is of less importance than the mission given to you by God. Giving up your life to Jesus is not simply dying. It's giving into the supremacy of Jesus and His control and His call on your life. Your wants, your needs, and everything else of your life come last, not first. And we come into this, as we come into this new year, be mindful of how you lead your life. The most important thing in your life is not what you want, but what God wants. That's hard for us in our Western society, because our Western society bombards us all the time with, you're the most important thing. Get what you want. Take care of yourself. Get what you want. Get what you want. Your needs come after what, after God. After your family, after your friends. Yep, it's inconvenient sometimes. It sometimes sucks. I don't know how many times in my ministerial career I've gotten up in the middle of the night to take care of an issue of somebody from the church or somebody loosely associated with the church. To care for people, I did a funeral on the day I did the wedding of Kate and Brian. It was not easy. It was not what I planned. I didn't want to do it, but God said I had to do it. Jesus called us to put others first. Always put others first. Use Linda's acronym, JOY. Jesus, others, you. Probably things that we need to add into there. Joy. Make it way, you're down the list. God will take care of you. He will still bless you. And you have eternity to reap the rewards of being, putting Him first. I'm not an actuarial. I don't do calculations about the value of things over time. But I think I've got this figured out. I think the rewards that we get to inherit for eternity will greatly outweigh the rewards I get for a little while here. You know, we live roughly 70, 80 years, right? In your temporal life. If you're driven by your wants and needs, your benefit will be for 70 or 80, 90 years, whatever your life is, versus the rewards of heaven for eternity. You don't have to be an actuarial to figure that out. You don't need a fantastic algorithm to figure that out. If you're driven by your wants and needs, your benefit will be for a short time by getting or doing what you want for a little while. But when we do what Jesus wants you to do, we'll enjoy the rewards for eternity. In a few days, we'll enter 2026, a time of new beginnings. So this year, let's go from perfection to presence. Go from comfort to proximity. Be where others are. It may be uncomfortable. Go from greatness to smallness. Don't think you have to be involved in the great things. Be ready to be involved in the small things every day. Go from polished testimony to raw truth. The truth of the gospel message. Go from safety first to sacrifice first. Instead of the typical New Year's resolutions of losing weight, paying off debt, reading more books, or whatever those resolutions are that you have, and you're inclined to let focus your life, let's focus on what God says. Let's focus on how we can be used by God in the world. Let's take the scandal of the manger, the scandal of God with outcasts, and make some scandalous resolutions to sacrificially honor God in the call He's made on our lives. After all, God has given to us grace. Unmerited favor. You did nothing to receive it. But now that you got it, it's not free. In response to receiving it, God expects something from you. our obedience, our sacrifice. New Year's is the perfect time to begin it. You can all do a few things, a few small things, every day. That's what God calls us to. Father, thank you for calling us to be your servant, calling us to be your slaves, slaves who are called to not necessarily be involved in the big things. Most of us never get to do that. But you've given us small things to do that are be obedient. Put us in the lives of others. Stop the focus on our own self and focus on others. Preach the raw truth of the gospel. Father, that's what you've called us to do. Teach us how to do that. Willing to sacrifice for you, willing to love you, willing to serve you. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. Thank you for this time of year. Thank you for this congregation and its outworking into the communities around the country, even around the world. Thank you, Father. We love you. We look forward to a great year in 2026 of serving you. If only in the little things, they all add up. Thank you, Father. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Teaching on Demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. We pray that today's message has aided you in learning and living God's Word. We warmly invite you to join us for worship at Friendship Grace Brethren Church, located at 6865 Eagle Street, Fort Myers, Florida. Come and experience the fellowship, worship, and teaching that make our community special. We look forward to seeing you there.